It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So I got home yesterday, take the customary nap. Just part of the equation. I get up and then I see that there's a mention from our official ESPN 97.5 account, and it's a social clip of the day. And I go, okay, it's me and Sean. And then I see it, and we're talking about CJ's injury and the concussion and his status. And then I go to YouTube, as I like to do, and then I see that the headline, life-changing injury, and it's our video in long form. And I go, what did I say? Why is the headline life-changing injury? I know I talked about concussions and how they affect the play of players, and some guys just decide at points that football's not for me anymore. It's just a picture of CJ and life-changing injury. I got by the headline. Then I realized I'm the one who's in the video. I know what I said. I don't know if I said life-changing at any point, but it is season-changing for the Texans in the way that it means that CJ Stroud won't be playing for the third straight game. That was always the thought, as he didn't practice the first time they were available to practice. I mean, it was just a walkthrough on Monday, but he didn't practice. He wasn't available. He was out there yesterday, though, he and Petrie. So it gave some people some hope that maybe he could play tomorrow. That hope was dashed after practice. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the status of Petrie and CJ Stroud.
To start, just injury update, CJ and Jalen will be out. Both guys are progressing. They're doing better. But right now with the short turnaround, game on Thursday, just don't have enough days for those guys to be available.
So there it is from the head man himself, Petrie, who actually got back on the field. If they actually had practice on Monday, it was considered a walkthrough. He was a limited participant. He was out there yesterday as well, but just not enough time. The short window seemed like a real barrier for CJ playing. Apparently, it's also a barrier for Petrie. So they'll miss games again, and then we'll see, as the expectation is that they'll both be ready for the Colts, which is one of those games where, depending on how this Bills game goes, we might be talking about, hey, the Texans stack a fourth win in a row together against the Colts, and maybe the division's not out of line, because the Colts play the Chiefs this weekend, of course. The Chiefs is someone you're competing with for the final playoff spot, but if you have thoughts about the division, you would like them to beat the Colts and then go into Indy and have your chance to give the Colts their at that point would be their third straight loss. They're coming off a bye. But you got to deal with the task at hand. That's the Bills. And an elite quarterback is coming in to town. One you've beaten. He's the one elite quarterback in D'Amico Ryans' tenure that they've beaten. And part of playing an elite quarterback is you're generally not going to have great success. But we know about the Baltimore situation. When Lamar Jackson is playing, it's a no contest. The Chiefs games have been much closer, but you've lost those as well. I guess it all depends on how you feel about Justin Herbert. If you think he's an elite quarterback, you can throw him on the list as well. They dominated him in the playoffs and won that one. All depends on how you feel about him. But Josh Allen, no questions about his status. And they beat him. He was terrible. So if Justin Herbert isn't on the list, he falls in line with Baker Mayfield. And you beat him in 2023 thanks to CJ Stroud's heroics late in that game. So for ranking the quarterbacks the Texans have beaten, Josh Allen, and then however you feel about Baker and Herbert. I'm saying this to say they beat up on a lot of minnows. There are a lot of minnows as far as quarterbacks in this league, or slightly above average, and the Texans beat those guys.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Let our backup
beat you. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is like like he's the average quarterback in the NFL that the Texans face most times. Sure, there's the elite guys they face, the just below that tier, and then they're also face the bad quarterbacks. But the Texans have generally had their way against average to below average quarterbacks.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think bad quarterbacks, they do worse than they do against average.
They've lost to Will Levis.
Levis, Ritter.
Yeah, they've had
rookie Bryce Young.
Yeah, so they, for whatever reason, the very extremes of the spectrum, they have issues with. You get it when it's an elite player. You can't believe it when it's happening and Bryce Young is leading game winning drives. Well,
but maybe, the average guys?
Yeah, right in their wheelhouse. Maybe we should have
said Cam Ward, got that.
Barely the second time around. But yes, they did get that job done. But maybe we should have seen it coming this season when it came to giving up late drives when Ritter and Bryce Young did it to him back in 2023. So this isn't the first time this trend of
I mean, part of it is just like, it's the NFL.
Some of these are going to happen
every week.
But the Texans in 2023, we knew that they had D'Amico Ryans, but we didn't know the full caliber of what their defense would be. Yeah. So it was a little like, okay, it's the NFL, like you said. This year, you're an elite defense, confirmed, and yet these things are happening. But they were able to overcome it last week and win the game. So can they get another win over an elite quarterback? Maybe they just handle Josh Allen. Josh Allen, a couple times he's played here, including the playoffs when it wasn't a D'Amico Ryans joint, he struggled. But that was 2019 Josh Allen. That's a different quarterback. But 2024 Josh Allen had his problems. Maybe he was concussed and the Bills didn't really do their due diligence. Who knows? Because if you remember, his head hit the ground as hard as CJ's did, and he kept playing. But let's listen to Josh Allen. Let's hear Josh Allen talk about the trouble he had the last time he had to come to NRG.
Ball out of the shadow of the end zone and how it eventually cost you the game. Any stinging memories? I mean, how much more equipped do you think you are?
I got beat up that game. Didn't play well at all. You know, it's watching that film. There's a lot of good stuff to watch from that film, but it's hard to watch. You know, I played pretty badly. Hopefully we can go out there and play a little bit better and move the ball a little bit better. But again, this defense is no easy task to go against, and it's going to take everything that we got from everybody on the field.
9 of 30, 131 yards and a touchdown. Those are his stats.
It'd be great if he was like, I don't remember anything from that game. My head hit the ground pretty hard.
You know, I try to block out. Normally, I try to block out bad performances because it doesn't do me any favors. I don't actually remember that one.
No, it's like Troy Aikman against the Niners. I have literally no idea.
If you say so. What if everything people reference about the Bills game against the Texans, Josh Allen goes, if you say so, well, me not.
I mean, I'm going to take the tape afterwards, I guess.
I guess I got to take your word for it.
Yeah,
because I'm not sure what happened that day because I don't remember any of it.
And didn't miss.
Did not.
No, I think he missed. Did like he miss a snap? Snaps.
Yeah, I think he had to lead the game for a little bit. Was Trubisky on the team back then?
Yeah, I think it was Trubisky.
And then it was a close game.
And he jogged right back on the field.
Got checked out. Was like, get on back out there and continue your 9 for 30 performance.
I give the team the best chance to win, 9 for 30.
Not that day you didn't. Fine. Look, you're not going to hold a guy like him out or really very many quarterbacks unless you're Anthony Richardson, who we've seen a guy tap out on that field before.
Yeah.
Josh Allen isn't one of those guys, and we'll see him on Thursday. Texans are going to have their – I don't know if they still call it battle red now that they have the new uniforms, but their all red uniforms will be on display. If you saw CJ or the other guys out there yesterday, you saw them all wearing their red helmets. They got to get them broken in. I guess that's part of the rule.
The way I learned this, I think I remember it from when the schedule revealed and they have like what each day is. And then I forgot. And then this week I saw Landry Locker recording Matthew Wright watching Kaimi Fairbairn kick field goals in practice, being like, NFL's or kicker life is crazy. You one day you're hitting the game winner, the next day you're watching Kaimi Fairbairn take his job back.
Yeah, if he's healthy enough, you know you're cut.
And they're wearing like the normal practice uniforms, like the blue top practice uniforms, and they had just a red marble for their head. I was like, oh, they're wearing the red stuff.
I know the NFL ain't heard for money. Exponentially wealthy, all these owners
feel like
are.
They could have two helmets per player.
Oh, that was the rule before. That's why we didn't have the alternate helmets, and now we do because they changed that rule.
I feel like you just
they said it was a player safety thing. Hey, we only want the one helmet for player safety. Yet college football's been doing it for years, and there's been no now they treat their players differently, but there's no evidence that having a second or third helmet available to play in is leading to more head injuries. Now, once you get the head injury, how do the college players treat it?
Right back in there.
Yeah, get your ass back in there, much like Josh Allen did. Yeah, they treat everyone like Josh Allen. But it ain't because the helmets are plentiful as far as options are concerned. But my thought was, when you know this week is coming up and you can sense Kymie Fairbairn is coming back, do you even really have to, like, get a helmet ready for Matthew Wright? He can just stand out there in a regular helmet. And look, man, look, if things go well, you're not going to play.
You can just use Kymie.
So just and if, and you know what? If Kymie's not right, we'll figure it out. But I'm not going to – if I'm the equipment guy, I'm like, I got to put a helmet together for this guy. He ain't even playing.
I have to do 75 helmets.
Well, yeah, you even have to do it for the practice squad guys who aren't playing either. Like,
yeah, because I guess in theory they could get called up.
Yeah, you got to do it for everyone.
I'd be like, D'Amico, be real.
But not for the kicker. Not for the backup kicker who's only there if Kymie doesn't recover enough. Like, if you got to put a red helmet together for the backup, the fourth, fifth string safety who may get called up if someone gets hurt in warm-ups, okay, got it. But not for Matthew Wright.
No disrespect to
No disrespect to Matthew Wright, but I'm just looking out for the equipment guy.
Yeah.
It's a little extra work that he doesn't have to do.
For the people out there.
Does he get to keep his helmet, or does he have to give it back if he doesn't even get to wear it in the game?
I think you have – this is just purely just a guess. I do feel like you need to be at a certain level to ask for the helmet.
A journeyman kicker doesn't get to ask for the helmet he wore.
I
think he gets to keep the game winner helmet. Like the helmet that he wore, I think you should be able to keep that. You kicked the game winner for the team. You should be able to keep that helmet. The blue one. The red one, if you don't play in it, you don't get to keep it.
I guess the real test is, I'm trying to think, like, how many helmets does, like, NFL helmets does Chase Daniel have? How many helmets does, like, Kirk Benkert have? Like, these guys that, you know, they weren't NFL stars, I would say.
But they were on rosters.
They were on rosters. They've hung around the league. They bounced around the league. It's just, like, you know.
Does he, like...
When they're doing, like, I get they're not on SportsCenter, but when they're on their podcast
and they have their room set up.
Their backdrop.
Does
Chase Daniel have, like, a Saints helmet?
Does Kirk Benkert have his...
Packers helmet?
His 49er helmet that he wore in a training camp? Yeah. I don't know.
Because I see Booger McFarland set up. He has an LSU helmet right behind him. He has an Indianapolis Colts helmet right behind him.
It makes sense.
He won championship for him. Yeah.
He was a big contributor.
For the Colts. I don't know if he was.
And he was a big time pick, draft pick for the Colts. It makes sense. I don't know. I don't remember a lot about Kurt setup when he was glomming off of CFB 25 to start his brand. I don't know. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Maybe you want to talk some CFP rankings because those came out last night, and the fall for Texas was giant, which kind of we suspected, they're going to need a lot of help. Plus, they got to beat A&M in Austin. So we'll talk about that. We got Rockets Cavs. Nice to see the Rockets back in action and a good opponent on the other side. And then we will hear from one Chandler Rome. Because this a guy we talked about surviving it all, surviving the challenge of Chaz McCormick and other outfielders, now apparently is the most likely Astro outfielder to get traded. So we'll hear from Chandler Rome on that. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We have two pairs of Cougar tickets to give away because the show before us is unprofessional. So if you want your chance to see the Cougs versus TCU, you're going to get two opportunities for that. But Eric, we'll get to you when we come back. Me and Sean till noon. Join us.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
This was yesterday, right, Sean, where I suggested we get more information from Eric on a certain caller that I believe he has prompted to call this show and the morning show for like the last decade or so, which would suggest he's in a long-term relationship despite his conversations about anchors for local news. Let's see if Eric will answer some of my questions, but we'll let him ask some of his own first. What's up, Eric?
Hey, amigos. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, why is welfare Brent Favre so up in arms about Bad Bunny, and he wants his corny friend, Jason Aldean, to do the halftime show? Also, I heard some rumblings about the FIFA World Cup title match being in Houston. I want to know if that's true. And can the Cougars still make the playoffs if they beat Texas Tech in the Big 12 matchup?
Before you go, thanks for all your questions, Eric. We had a woman call in yesterday. I think she went by the name of Brandy. Okay. Do you know her?
Mm-hmm. Not that I recall.
Not that
I mean,
you recall.
I probably knew a Brandy back in the day.
What's up? Do you have... have you been in a long-term relationship, let's just say for the last 5 years, with someone?
I've been in a couple long-term relationships.
A couple. Have you ever asked a woman to call the morning show or this show before?
I never have. But women call your show because they like the show. I'm sure they like Sean Mapes and you.
Okay. I would just point out that generally their call follows one of your calls. So it does seem like there's a pattern, but I don't want to call you a liar. So you're telling me that you don't ever tell anyone to call the show.
No, if anybody calls, it's their own free will. I don't make anybody do anything.
Then say you make them. Maybe. Go ahead.
Well, no, I listened to the show in the morning with John and Lance and you, and I heard them call before me, or I haven't called at all, and they called, and I haven't called.
Okay.
Are you sure they don't work for Channel 13 or 26?
I have no idea, honestly. Thank you. Actually, you know what? Thank you. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate you. I don't know that I'm going to remember all the things you asked about.
I wrote them down.
Okay, once, you wrote
once,
them down.
Once the you started going Tom Cruise and A Few Good Men on them, did you order the code red?
Pretty sure Eric can't handle the truth. Thank you, Eric, for your call.
I did write them down.
I appreciate you. We'll talk to you likely tomorrow. We're going to be out at East River 9. Right. You can call in. What did he ask about?
First one is something about Bad Bunny. Someone's mad about Bad Bunny doing the halftime
show. Did, I heard
Jason
like,
Aldean.
It's a knockoff Brett Favre. Is that what I heard?
Maybe.
I don't have many thoughts. I appreciate that Bad Bunny's going to be the halftime entertainment. It's done and dusted. I don't know why people think they're going to change the NFL's mind.
World Cup final in Houston. He's heard rumbling.
I have not heard that. Feels very unlikely. It may be in Texas, but not here. Feels like Arlington has a pathway, or New York, or L.A. Have they already stayed at that already, though?
I thought it was in SoFi, but I could be wrong.
It's probably going to be in L.A. World Cup final. I'll take a look at that.
But you know, things can change.
It'll be at MetLife.
Oh, MetLife. Yeah, even worse.
Never going to be here.
What is going to be
Not in Houston, at least.
I know that they're going to tear up the horrible turf there and put in
grass
real grass.
Yeah.
Still, I would put it in MetLife instead of New York. Or in SoFi instead of MetLife. And then last one, and I can just answer this one. If U of H wins the Big 12 title, if they beat Tech in the Big 12, they are guaranteed a spot.
Yes. Now
so
they would.
They're in.
It'd be unlikely.
They'd be the 12th seed.
They wouldn't have a bye.
No,
like
actually,
they,
it'd be the 11th. It'd probably be the 11th.
If the American champion is, what, at this point, Tulane, they would fall behind
the
Cougs.
Could they pass the – no, probably not. They probably couldn't pass any of the ACC teams.
Probably not. Well, win over Tech would being 11-2 with the win over Tech, it would depend on the ACC team.
Maybe Georgia Tech loses to Georgia and then wins it.
That can happen. Well, since Eric called in about it.
Yeah,
in some
kind of backdoored our way into a college football season. Thanks, Eric.
We'll get into more of the CFP rankings when we come back, but let's give you a little taste because a team who just entered the rankings and at this point is the highest ranked American team is Tulane. American Conference team, just to clarify. But if you listen to their coach, you wouldn't think they should be ranked at all. Here's John Sumrall, the Tulane head coach.
I mean, I'll just be very candid. There's some days I feel like we're one of the bottom 25 teams in the country watching us play. So, you know, if we want to start feeling comfortable or casual about somebody wanting to vote us in the top 25 teams. There must be a lot of bad football going on if we're one of the top 25 teams. So, I mean, there must be some really bad football played right now in college football. So, I don't know. We're average. We're an average team. We get every 6 or 7 days, depending on the schedule of the week, to promote ourselves or embarrass ourselves. We've done that before. Mm. So we better get ready to play. I watched this practice today. I think we're average.
There it is. Real inspirational from John Sumrall for his team. They are.
I like that though.
I like this
is the opposite of campaigning.
Yeah.
This is like.
I don't even know what you guys are doing. And by the way, this was before the playoff rankings. This was after the AP. So yeah. I don't know if anyone on the committee was locked in on Tulane and their press conferences. But when the head coach tells you, hey, we're not that good. Maybe they should have taken that into account.
But Hunter Yurshek is like, I have a quote from.
Maybe we should put Navy there instead.
From the guy I'm looking to interview at Arkansas, John Sumrall, has some thoughts on his team.
We're average. I just watched them in practice. We're average. Well, that average football team has Temple and Charlotte coming up, and if they do that,
take care of business.
They take care of their own business. They have a clear path to the American championship game. Although I say that,
would it be Navy?
Navy is there. They have not played Navy, so that tiebreaker, at least head-to-head, doesn't exist. They also have not played Tulane, who's 5-1. They have played East Carolina, who they had to have a win against. Yeah. So it's
Tulane, UNT, Navy, basically.
And East Carolina, if things break their way. Yeah. But like I said, Tulane hasn't played the other or two of the top four in the conference besides himself. And if I look at East Carolina, what they've been up to, Their one loss is to Tulane, as I said, but they did not play Navy, and they did not play North Texas, and they won't play North Texas. So it's all complicated.
The super conferences are out of control.
Go back to divisions. That might help.
Yeah. How many teams does the American have? They can't have more than 14, right? They have 12 or 14, right?
I don't know how many conference members they have. It's probably 14.
There's no need for them not to have divisions.
Yeah. Just to make this...
Just for this specific thing right now.
So you can have that many teams in line for the conference title, and several of them have not played against each other and won't. So they have 15 members in conference.
Hmm.
They could still have divisions. Make it a lot easier for everyone.
Yeah, just have the armed forces being a third division.
Well, that's the other thing. Like if Navy qualifies for the American final, which they're on a path to, They will win their conference, so it doesn't matter as much. But just in a world where Navy wasn't at large, the selection committee does their final rankings before Navy's last game.
Yeah.
Because the Army-Navy game comes after the selection committee. So if Navy was had a good out-of-conference schedule where they actually beat Notre Dame and they don't win the American, but you can consider them at 11-1 or whatever for a conference, or 10-1 at the time, for a CFP appearance. What if you put them in and then they go lose to Army? A lot of weird stuff in college football. All right.
Yeah. Luckily, the committee will never put in a at-large American team.
Yeah.
So we're good. We're good.
Disrespecting the troops. All right. We'll go to break with that. When we come back, we'll get more into the CFP because the rankings are out. Chalk at the top. At the bottom of the top 10 into the teens, then that's where the discussion takes place. And who should be where? Do head-to-head matter? Does that matter? Do tiebreakers matter? We'll get into that when we come back. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll do some Astros stuff as well because there's some, at least news regarding a potential trade, at least speculation about a potential trade. And we don't really have a lot to talk about with the Astros, but if someone wants to be noteworthy and newsworthy, we'll certainly get to it. So. We also have those Kooks tickets to give away. We'll give away a pair before we're done with the 11 o'clock hour, and then we'll give a pair away in the second hour of the show. So 713-780-3776. We will be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
We had our CFP rankings. They came out in between two college basketball games. Kentucky got their doors blown off by Michigan State. And people are like, hey, we don't need a post-game show for this matchup in November. Let's move it along. They eventually got to the CFP rankings. And as I said, the top four were the same. A&M struggled clearly in the first half, bounced back and won. And when that was asked, that question about their struggles, the interim commissioner, I'm not sure what your check's title officially is, said, hey, that second half wiped away any concerns about the first half, the way they played in the second half. So
I mean, they literally won the game, so yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to matter.
They scored more points in the second half than
I didn't think it was going to matter, but he was asked about it, and that was his response.
It's more of like, and we talked about this, was it last week or maybe 2 weeks ago with Fernando Mendoza, how it's like, he had a pretty bad game by his standards for the first three quarters, but he had a Heisman moment against Penn State. And it's like Marcel Reed kind of did the same thing where it's like he played like absolute garbage and like
and then
did in the first half and then played awesome.
The opposite, complete opposite in the second half.
Yeah, it's like, you know, in a game where you throw, did he have three interceptions or three turnovers? I forgot. I think one of them was a fumble.
I think
right?
one of them, yeah, was a fumble.
And then it's like, but that was his Heisman moment because he put the belt to a bad South Carolina.
He played
team.
So poorly that he had to play so spectacularly. Yeah.
If he just had the second half in the first half.
Then he's sitting in the third quarter. Then, he's not taking snaps in the fourth. Yeah.
Then we're not talking about a Heisman moment. Yeah. I just always enjoyed how dumb the Heisman is, where it's like, Heisman moment.
He overcame adversity.
Yeah, overcame adversity.
His own.
Either a crappy Penn State team or a crappy U.S. Or a South Carolina team.
Yeah, I mean, the best play in the game was a catch, not the throw, in the Fernando Mendoza Heisman moment. And
give that guy the Heisman.
Yeah, and I said it a couple times now that if a DB reacting to a deflected pass gets his feet straight and can make a break on the ball, he never sees that Heisman moment. Yeah. But thanks to that receiver, he gets one. And, you know, Fernando Mendoza doesn't throw a lot of incompletions. So he's going to be at the top of that list.
I kind of feel like it's just going to come down to
Sayin versus Mendoza?
Either the Big Ten or SEC title game.
Who?
I guess it's more like if Reed just plays.
If it's Reed versus.
If he like dominates Georgia or Alabama. I think Alabama has a better chance at it because of the head-to-head with Georgia. But yeah, if he just smokes Alabama, I feel like he has a shot. And then also, he kind of needs Saiyan and Mendoza to not, like, wow people. He needs a defensive matchup.
Sure.
But, or it's one of the Big Ten quarterbacks look awesome in their matchup, and then they just get the Heisman.
Yeah, and we'll see if Ty Simpson over the next, three games, if you include the SEC title game, can make a run at it, even though his team has two losses. He's a guy who's thrown 22 touchdowns and two picks. So
it's a tough time to make the, like, well, Ty Simpson should be right there because they just lost to an Oklahoma team. And
he was a
pick six.
He didn't play particularly well. Yeah.
But, I mean, for the other 10 games this season, it's been pretty good.
So while Alabama was in that top four, they no longer are thanks to the loss to Oklahoma. Georgia's now up there. So a lot of the conversation is tinted when people discuss these rankings with the belief that the committee members, being human, have agendas. Some bias, whether it's unconscious or actually acknowledged when they talk about these things. Sean, where do you stand? Do you believe they are trying to do the best possible job and removing the and don't have the biases affecting decisions? Or do you think they walk in there with an agenda and work to make that agenda happen?
I think that they are human beings with biases that are just subconscious or, you know, mostly subconscious of like, these guys just think the SEC and Big Ten are the best conferences. So their rankings are just going to reflect that they think going 10-2 in the SEC is more impressive than going 9-1 or, you know, going 8-2 in the SEC is more impressive than going 9-1 in the Big 12, as evidenced with the BYU versus Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Alabama stuff.
They are also at least this year, valuing the type of loss that you have.
Where, I love a quality loss.
Where your quality loss means more than maybe even your wins. Of course, Notre Dame falls into that category. You may say they have the best combination of losses in the country.
You can't. I mean, it's really hard to get better losses than they got.
You lose by one on fourth down at home to A&M, and then you lose by three on the road to a team who you're ahead of, but also is in the top 13 of the rankings.
Yeah. Losses Notre Dame fans will remember for the rest of life and cherish.
And will use to defend their ranking as they go forward. Notre Dame doesn't have a lot on their schedule to bolster it. They have Syracuse and NC State, which happen to be a common opponent of the team most likely to be upset if they make it. If Notre Dame makes it, the other team doesn't. That would be the Miami Hurricanes, who vaulted Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt was on a bye, so Miami creeps ever closer to the team that would be the target of their anguish, I guess, if that team makes it. It's not like they have played anyone. They've just blown out Syracuse and NC State. So the committee has jumped Miami five spots in 2 weeks because of sheer dominance, and, of course, other teams have lost, but it's not because of competition. So, of course, Hunter Yurecek was asked about that, and he said we don't comp Miami and Notre Dame together. This is what they said over the last couple weeks. We don't hold them in the same tier. And then the follow-up was, what happens if they do get in the same tier? Will you consider head-to-head as a major component? He said, yes. If things happen in a way that makes Miami and Notre Dame in the same tier, then we will heavily consider head-to-head. So what has to happen for maybe the biggest debate of this year to take place? Miami's going to need help from the likes of Cincinnati. They host BYU. Need to get BYU out of the paint. There's not a lot on Utah's schedule that will drop them. They have to play the two Kansas schools, one on the road, one at home, and, of course, there's a Big 12 title game. Utah has a bad loss as far as how it happened to Tech. So, if you are hoping for the Canes to, or you just don't like Notre Dame, you have to get those two teams closer, and then we'd have to see if they hold true to their word.
Yeah.
Because there's a real way that if Miami does the improbable of winning two games in November on the road, they do that. There's a real chance they do everything the committee wants. They get the favors from other teams, and the committee goes, actually, we still think Notre Dame is better, even though we beat them. That's still on the table, despite what they're saying.
That's still on the table. That's always on the table.
Yeah.
That they just go, interesting resume you have here. Don't care.
Yeah. I know.
Flush it.
I know you beat them, and at one point you're up 21-7, and if not for your coach's tendency to go into a shell, maybe. See, this won't play a part in it for Miami fans, because they'll just be so furious. But you can look back to that game and go, perhaps when you're up 21-7, if you go to try to beat them 38-10, then this is less of an argument, because Notre Dame's good loss is now a bad loss because they got blown out.
It was a backdoor good loss.
Yeah.
It was a backdoor cover of
midway
losses.
Through the third quarter, they were down by two scores, and then Chris Ball did the Chris Ball thing.
Yeah.
So, yes. That's the big debate. Other things.
Hunter Yurecek. Enjoy Pop-Tarts, buddy.
Yeah. Other things out there. Alabama falls to 10.
Yeah.
So they are in clear danger if they lose to Auburn and Jordan-Hare. It has to be a giant upset. But if it happens, Alabama's out.
Because if Alabama loses to A&M in the SEC title game, which is the most likely
loss for them coming up?
The most likely matchup in the SEC, too. But also the most likely loss. Is based off of last year, and this is always dangerous, based off last year's committee, because it is a different committee than last year, they did not penalize teams for losing in the SEC or Big Ten title game or the ACC title game.
Did any of them fall to three losses, though?
No, they all basically were the 3 and 4 seed, or the 3 and 4 rankings, but the 5 and 6 seed.
Sure, and then, of course, SMU
Texas
as well.
Georgia, it was basically games for byes all it was.
Yeah.
It was the winners got byes, the losers were the 5 and 6.
And they kept SMU in.
They kept SMU in.
They came back and made it close, and then they only had the two losses. So the test will be,
does that hold for this year?
Do losses to Oklahoma and A&M bolster Alabama's resume? Because they'd be good losses. Unless Oklahoma drops some games here.
Not as good as those sweet, sweet Notre Dame losses.
No, pretty good losses. But are they overshadow an awful loss to Florida State, where the final score was actually closer than the actual game?
Yeah.
So they pick and choose. I don't know if they have acknowledged agendas, but there's no consistency.
Yeah, that's the biggest case for why I don't think there is like a grand conspiracy, is that they're not really good at the
sticking with them. Yeah,
I think it is just they look at the script A on Alabama's midfield logo and they go, "That's a good."
We'll never
team
take a
right
picture
there.
On it because there'll be a staffer trying to keep us away from it. But we do acknowledge
they
that the
appreciate
logo.
It.
Yeah,
they see those golden helmets on Notre Dame. They're like, "Damn, that's." What a great helmet.
Damn, that's a good TV product.
Whoa. So, yeah, so I think that's what – I don't even think that's a good TV product. I think that's literally like, well, you know.
It's Notre Dame.
It's Notre Dame. It's Come Notre on. Dame.
Come on.
They're 8-2.
Sure, the team you're screwing over has 5 national titles since 1983.
Are they Notre Dame?
But they're not Notre Dame. They're not Notre Dame.
They don't have Rudy.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I don't know.
I mean, there have been 2 docs made about them, but Luther Campbell was in those. It ain't the same. The great Sean Astin was in Rudy.
Yeah. Ask Mark D'Antonio what he thinks about Uncle Luke. Play an Uncle Luke song for him and ask him what he thinks.
See, the thing is, there's a podcast I listen to that talks about like sci-fi, fantasy movies and books and all that stuff. And they say, look, of course we have to suspend disbelief because it's sci-fi fantasy. But the rules of the world need to be consistent. They have to make sense. The rules of this world don't make sense.
No.
And that's what pisses people off. Chris, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Oh, by the way, since I did promise it, I'll announce it now. I'm just saying, hey, ticket giveaway here. At 10:55, TCU versus Cougs, that's this Saturday. We're giving you a chance to win those tickets at 10:55. Caller 3 wins a pair of tickets to watch the Cougs try to get to 9-2. They're on the road to 10-2. We had a caller ask if they still had a shot to make the playoff if they win the Big 12. Yes, if they win the Big 12, they do. It's going to be tough to get there. But you got to beat TCU to make it happen. They're honoring their seniors. You want to go out there and don't let purple be the dominant color in the building. You want it to be red. They're telling you, come early, be loud, and wear red. If you don't get tickets from us, tickets just start at $25. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. But to win them from us, 10:55, caller 3, 713-780-3776. Chris, hold on. We'll get to you when we come back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Just from off-air conversations, I know what Chris wants to talk about, and it's something that A&M is immune to because they haven't lost. But Chris, what's up?
Hello, it's y'all's favorite tongue dart Chris returning. I actually have 2 college football statements. One is including A&M, and I actually want to talk about Dune or just make a Dune statement because I'm a huge sci-fi nerd. So I was talking to my buddy that goes to A&M, and he was telling me the requirements to be a Yale leader, and he was saying something about they have to get their class ring and put it in a warm beer and then butt chug it while quoting Cardi B's Up, which is kind of odd to me. But the usual, like, Oklahoma versus Alabama football game, they're always entertaining. But I like to refer to that game as the Who Loves Their Cousin More Bowl. And with Dune, do you think we're ever going to get to the part of the series where they have the sex slave aliens? I'll hang up and get your opinion on that. Thank you.
Well, the next Dune will be the weirdest of the 3. I don't know if Villeneuve is going to go past it, but the 3rd book is weird as hell. So he's going to have some work to do as far as
massage it a little.
As far as your thoughts that, or at least your assertion that there's butt chugging involved when it comes to your class ring. I don't think that's the case. The warm beer ring thing, I think it's true.
Yeah, no. I mean, other than the word butt, I think you've mostly nailed
it. Yeah, you
and
chug.
And the Cardi B stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to sing Up from Cardi B. It's Up if it's stuck. You don't have to sing that. But, or is it the other way around? I don't remember.
It's all right.
Either way, it doesn't matter. But we get it. You don't have to sing that. But you do have to chug a beer.
Yeah.
Is it warm?
You want it to be warmer because it's just easier to drink warmer.
I'm not a beer guy, so now I'm learning. There.
Warm, and you actually, for chugging, you kind of want it on the flatter side.
Got it. You want it to be.
So a lot of times they would, you know, you just fill up the pitcher and just let it sit.
And then you do your thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Some A&M lore. I knew parts of it, didn't know the logistical reasons why they did it. I do know you don't need.
I don't know the why. That was none of that's the why. That just has to do with the why it's on true. The temperature of the beer.
Why they chose that particular yeah. way. You're right. Yeah. We don't know why. But I actually don't want to know. It's better that I don't. But I do like the logistical reasons of why warm beer is better and why flat makes. I know why the flat part would make more sense.
Yeah. But I mean, again, I have to reiterate, they chug it with their mouths.
Yes. They're not pulling the John Cena from that movie where he played a dad. I forgot what it was called. But no, they don't do that.
John Cena's like, whoa.
He did. Well, his character.
Pull a John Cena. That's like the worst case scenario.
Fine. His character. John Cena didn't do it. His character did. And I forgot what it was called. He played an overprotective father. Don't remember exactly the name of the movie.
The Marine.
No, he did not play a dad there. He that was back in his I'm going to be in a WWE movie era. Yeah, he's moved past that.
Now he's in real movies.
He's in real. I think it was called Blockers. That was the name of the movie. Where it was the parents trying to block their kids from having fun, like sex on prom night or something like that.
I roughly remember this movie. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like him and him.
Ike Barinholtz in that joint, right?
Yeah. He played one of the dads. Yeah. And Ant-Man's recast daughter's in it too. Catherine Newton. She wasn't the first or the second. She was the third. Because, of course, they needed her for Young Avengers, and now they're all, like, in their 30s anyway, so. The Young Avengers, they will be as old as some of the people who started the actual Avengers.
Yeah, they're going to be my age.
Yeah, they're already your age. Like, talked about Haley Steinfeld.
I mean, that's how it works. Yeah. But they're all my age.
Yeah, Haley Steinfeld is married, and some people think she's hiding.
She's hiding a child?
No. Well, she's hiding a pregnancy because she wore a dress that would cover a showing of a pregnancy.
She Maybe. Is literally, what, 8 months younger than I am.
Yes. She'll be, if that movie ever comes about, she'll be in her 30s. 30 years yes. old. And the alleged baby will be on set.
Alleged.
That's what Big Sarge needs to ask. Josh Allen. Hey, great game, Josh.
Why are we deputizing Sarge to ask this?
Anyone could do it. That's the first name that came up. Jonathan Alexander, I don't care. Cody, whatever. That's just the first name. Big Sarge is funny to say.
Yeah, Big Sarge.
And if
is
he goes
funny.
Big Sarge here, I got a question for you, Josh. So I saw your wife at an awards show, and looked great. She looks great. Loved her in Sinners. I just got to grease the wheel a little bit.
Soften it.
She was wearing a dress that covered up her midsection, and normally the abs are out quite a bit. What's that about, Josh? Do you have something to announce?
Care to comment?
Yes. Do you?
Let's talk about. I ask a terrible talk about press conference question, but about his wife's dress.
Yeah. Yes. Look, I know your main goal is a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know you're but
will there be? Are you going to have to buy those earphones? What were they, that Drew Brees' kid had to wear?
The noise canceling.
Are you going to need to have those noise canceling headphones that Drew Brees' kid had to wear because? Someone is expecting. Oh yeah, nice job going 17-35, throwing a couple picks in a loss.
Yeah, every other question has to be why can't you beat the Houston Texans? Yeah. And then Sarge, hey, moving away from the game for a second. So Josh Allen's like, thank God.
Yeah, no more questions.
Think my concussed brain can barely keep up with it.
Last year's concussed brain. We don't know what's happening tomorrow.
Aziz Alshire is still on the field. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there will be a 10-yard James Cook run where Aziz delivers a hard blow, and he will ignore the fact that it's a first down and go, I got him. So, don't know that she's pregnant. Just know that I'm still waiting on Young Avengers. We'll just call it middle-aged Avengers at that point.
Just call it Avengers.
Yeah, you might as well. Kate Bishop doesn't need to act like a 20-year-old if she's actually in real life 32. All right, we'll go to break. That is hour one complete. We gave away our Cougs tickets. We have another pair to give away in our second hour. We'll get to Chandler Rome and his thoughts on a potential move as the Astros are looking to make additions, but maybe there will be a subtraction from the roster that we've come to know and I won't say love so much, but come to know and watch. We will hear from Chandler Rome when we come back. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. If you want to add extra things to a fan base that you hate's lore, like butt chugging for your ring, that's welcome too. We'll be back.